Hi, it's Michelle. Welcome to this segment of Daily Bread with Jam, a Holy Spirit You Channel podcast. We are whosoever will channel and podcast, meaning that wherever you are in your walk, as you are seeking, if you are considering seeking, you're in a valley of decision, you are in a place where you're struggling in your walk or challenged or wrestling, you're in a place where you're feeling good where you are with the Lord, but you're still willing to hear and to learn, welcome here. Our role and our goal to each other is not that one knows more than the other. We know different things at different times. Just as we grow differently in the natural, we grow differently in the spirit. So those of us who are ahead should be helping those that are behind. Those that are behind should be looking to those that are ahead so that we can come together in unity and be able to be available and serve God in the way that He created us and desires for us to do that. To that point, we can only do that as we humble ourselves, seek the face of God, turn from our own wicked ways, pray, and ask Holy Spirit to lead us. Our prayer is not about what we can do. Our prayer is to help us to submit to the leading of the Spirit through us. That is the only way that Christ can be manifested. And once Christ is manifested, then by the Spirit of God, the same Spirit which is in Christ is in us. And therefore, all families of the earth can be blessed. If we are not all doing that, God will still find a way to bless those who desire to be blessed through Him. But we have to also be aware of what our role in that is and how much we participate, in that, how much of a beneficiary we can be in processes that we don't participate in. So today's topic is going to be not deceived. Be not deceived. And I'm going to hop right into this so that we can get on with this dialogue and this conversation, this ongoing conversation that is really designed, as I said before, to encourage and to edify. Knowledge puffs up. Knowledge serves the person that has the knowledge. Love builds up. If it's by faith, it must also be in love, whether it's knowledge or prophecy. If it's by faith, it must also be by love. So it doesn't mean we can't have knowledge. It means that everything that we do has to be that we love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and strength and our neighbors as ourselves. It must be driven by love. Now, hopping right in, be not deceived. The term specific, if you do a phrase match, which means you, if you don't already know that, you put the quotes around it, phrase match, exact phrase match. Put be not deceived, particularly in the King James Version. I don't know what it looks like in other versions. But it appears multiple times, several times, Old Testament and New, be not deceived, that term. I'll give you a couple of instances where you see it. One in the Old Testament, which is Deuteronomy 11:16. Then several in the New Testament. A few of those are Luke 21:8, 1 Corinthians 15:33, Galatians 6:7. Be not deceived. Now, pivoting out of cursing into blessing, pivoting out of death into life, pivoting out of fear into love, all requires an understanding, and I keep using the word understanding. The Bible says that with all you're getting, get understanding. It doesn't mean that we have the capability or the capacity to understand what God is saying on our own. We don't have that capacity because we have very limited, fractional even, perspectives. We're very limited. We're unlimited in some way. The capacity is there. The developed capacity is not. The potential is there. That's how God created us. Right? He created us in anticipation of us accepting. So capacity has to be there. At the same time, there are things that operate within us that can't go with us in the transformation. Right? So capacity is there. Developed capacity for the Spirit of God is not there. Potential is there. Developed potential for God to use us in the way that He desires by our choosing. is not yet there. So be not deceived. So it then becomes important for us to understand. Get in all you're getting, get understanding. Understanding of what? Understanding of the principles of God. How do we get that? One, we go to the Word. We do all the things that I talk about consistently. We have to repent. We have to humble ourselves. Once we humble ourselves, we have to repent. We have to recognize that even if we think we're good people, God has already told us, you were born into sin. It's not a character judgment. Just like gravity, sin exists. So you were born into gravity. You're born into sin. They both manifest naturally. Spiritual things, supernatural manifests in the natural. It manifests through the natural. So it's the way that we treat it is that it's something that we hold against other people or use to elevate ourselves, so we think, God, because God holds us. God spiritually reduces us, so to speak. He doesn't rate us that way because we're all across the board. There are no grandchildren in the kingdom. Everybody's a child of God. All right? It doesn't work the same way. The lineage doesn't work the same way. The genealogy in the kingdom of God doesn't work the same way, but we'll talk about that another day. So we think that we can leverage people's behaviors and actions and speech to condemn them. Unless it serves as an advantage for us, then we want to take the same thing and use it like a, wear it like a badge, right? That's what we do. So if I don't like you, if I want to destroy you, whether in spirit or in truth, then I'm going to call out all of your stuff. But if I'm doing the same thing, which I most likely was doing even before I called you out, then I'm going to wear that like a badge of courage or badge of honor if it serves my purpose. That's the manifestation of sin. What I just said, that's the man. I don't care what else you see. I don't care how else it manifests. The basis of all sin is a lie. That's the basis of all sin. So the understanding is knowing that even if I think I'm being the best person I can be, and I mean in good faith. I'm not talking about in bad faith, because there are people that say they're the best people, the greatest thing since sliced bread, in bad faith, because they know that there are people that will believe that. But God is not about all that. He knows all of us from the inside out. He knows us by heart. The heart of humans is evil. Who can know it? That's a rhetorical question. Anytime you see God the Father, the Son, or the Spirit ask a question, it's a rhetorical question because he's omniscient. He knows everything already. So he's asking us so that we can know. Whenever he asks us a question, he's drawing something out of us that may be subconscious, it may even be conscious, but he needs us to know that he knows. So when he's having these conversations and he's saying these things to us, he already knows what the deal is. And we see that play out in every segment of our lives. Oh, if you do it, you're the scum of the earth. If I do it, I'm the greatest thing that ever happened. Nope, that's the manifestation of sin, because it's called manipulation, and that's not who God is. Now, if you don't know any better, that's one thing, right? But God is still holding us accountable. Why? Because he's given each of us a measure of faith. Be not deceived. He's given everyone a measure of faith. He's given us the gift that we use to dismiss him and other people. Why do I say that? Well, how else did you get them? Tell me how you got the gifts. Tell me how you got the things. Rhetorical. It's between you and the Lord. It's not between you and me. If you want to share, that's fine. But as I tell anybody I share with, it's not between you and me, unless you and I are actually trying to work out something that we have, right? But it's not for me to know. It's between you and God. Where do you think you got your gift from? Where did they come from? And if you say to another person, where did they get them from? Where did your actual breath come from? So start with the basics, because in order to talk about not being deceived, you have to understand why you're deceived. You have to understand first that we are deceived. And we don't see everything. We are deceived and we don't know everything. We can't see everything. So at any given moment, we are only living in a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a fraction to infinity. We see in part. We see through glass, but dimly. That's what all of that means. But when we are seen, when we see him, we will know, right? Because that's the standard. God is light. So he will bring light into us to help us see what we can't see, to help us know what we can't know. In all you're getting, get understanding. He will cause us to understand what we can't understand on our own. Even though he's given us, he's putting us to the test, given us the answers to the test, given us all the instruction that we can need, we still have issues. Why? Because we're not fully light. Right? When it's fully light, you can see everything, even for long distances. If there's darkness, then you can barely see in front of your own feet, unless what? There's light, unless you're carrying a light, wearing a light. So when we talk about deception and understanding, the difference is light. The difference is there light in that area of your life for you to know? Then it comes down to a point of accountability. So once I know, I am then accountable. And God is just, so let's just get it straight now. God is just, so he's going to make sure at every point in time that everyone understands their own darkness. We can't see him and be truly grateful to God unless we know the depth of our own darkness. And so sometimes when we go through things, it's not just that we're going through the thing. It's that part of that process is us understanding how much darkness we're in. Now, no one likes to be there. I've been there for a number of years, in fact. Depressed, suicidal ideation, the whole thing. So I know, and I'll share something a little bit more about that and some of the things that people like to say and kind of, I know from whence I speak. I'm not just reading the Bible. And I don't want to minimize that either, because one of the reasons I was able to continue to cry out to God is because of what he said in the Bible. I didn't know any more than you know. None of us do. Everybody wants to walk around here like they know something. Well, I may know something in a different area, but none of us knows all of what we think we know. We've never known all of what we think we know. So when God talks about, when we talk about creation, and everybody wants to make a big thing about that, there is no way that a big black hole is going to give birth to a fully formed person with all functioning parts or mostly functioning parts. So y'all can keep that. We're talking about a living being. He says, you're created in my image and likeness. Okay, so if we want to go that way, then you have to understand that a seed reproduces after its own kind. The challenge with us is that even though we were created in the image of God, God formed humans in the Garden of Eden, which was heaven on earth, formed humans in the Garden of Eden, blew into them, gave breath. Consider it reverse CPR. There was no breath. He put it back into him, or put it into Adam at the time, Adam and Eve, because Eve would then come out of his rib, the one closest to his heart. But there was no Eve until there was breath, the breath of life in the human, the humail, if you will. So we're not those things. Those are events that got us to this place. That's not meant to diminish anybody. God is always the person that is establishing the standard. He is not the person that's compromising the standard. And this is what we try to make it seem. We try to make it seem as if an eternal self-sufficient being, or I should say all-sufficient being, an eternal all-sufficient being who has made provision for us to have, we like to say living our best life, but truly live our best lives, not just here, but in the hereafter. We try to make it seem as if he's compromising us, when in fact the compromise is us. He had to redeem us from choices we made, past, present, and future. God the same, yesterday, today, and forever. What do we think that means? It covers eternity. So he's saying, regardless of how long you think you're going to live, regardless of how long the human race has been in existence or how long it will exist, just understand I've already accounted for all of that. So none of this has anything to do with God hating on us. It has everything to do with God trying to help us realize how underwater upside down in our situations, life in general, we are, and him letting us know, okay, now that you, if you understand what I'm saying to you, you will understand why you need me. He's not competing with us. What's he going to compete with? You know, I had someone say to me, you know, talking about power struggle, and they mentioned something to me, and I'm thinking, and just understand, if you have certain roles in your life, it doesn't matter what area of your life, if you have certain roles in your life, you don't need to compete. We all have space. God provides for 100% of 100%. He's not going to put me in a space that you're supposed to be in. We try to do that, but that's not God. If there wasn't a space, he wouldn't have put you here. If there wasn't a space, he wouldn't have put me here. But I promise you one thing. I'm not fighting with you if I know where my space is. You might be trying to get into my space, but trust me, I'm not trying to get into your space. Why? Because I got my hands full over here, if you understand what I'm saying. So we want to create this power struggle with God. And trust me, the power struggles that we have with each other, if you want to call them that, I think that's what they are. But if we want to call them that, the power struggles we have with they are only because we've dismissed God or don't think that we're accountable to God. I got one of the biggest lessons, I know, be not deceived. I got, and all of this has to do with be not deceived. It's never just about one thing. I got one of the biggest lessons in my life when God told me. He said, you can choose what you want, just like anybody else. This was when I was depressed, I was angry, I was hurt, I was still healing from chemo, I still couldn't work, I had all kinds of things going on. And I was frustrated and angry. And first and foremost, with God. And he said, what? Just admit that you're angry with me. Revelation number one, just admit, Michelle, that you're angry with me. Now, this has been almost 25, 30 years ago now. Maybe not that long, maybe around 22, 23, close enough. Just admit that you're angry with me. Okay, well, I'm angry with you. Okay, didn't quite come out like that. There was ugly crying and falling on the floor and all of that too. Why me, why me, why me, right? But he also said to me, he said, look, he said, I need you to understand what's going on right now. And all you're getting, get understanding, be not deceived. I need you to understand, Michelle, what's going on right now. And I will never forget it. I know exactly where I was. And no, I don't remember the date and time, but I know exactly where I was. I know how the sun was coming across the living room in my house in Nevada. I know exactly where I was. I was in the living room. And he said, I need you to understand. Right now, you are believing you or your circumstances or your emotions more than you're choosing those over me. Those are literally idols to you right now. And I'm telling you what the Lord told me. I'm telling you, I remember a lot of things when he tells me that I have to give away to other people, I don't remember. Stuff he says to me and I'm convicted of or convicted by, I remember clear as day. Because it changed me forever. There were two things. The second one, I'll tell you in a minute, but that has to do with Jesus being present. So he says to me, he says, look, I've given you a free choice. I've given you a power of free choice, just like I've given every human. You can choose to be on the throne of your life, or you can choose to have me on the throne of your life. But I will not fight you for it. I will honor your choices. I love you enough to do that. And that broke me. Because I realized in that moment, and all you're getting, get understanding. Can I give myself understanding? No, I cannot. Can you? No, you cannot. Why? Because we have darkness in us. It takes light to reveal. That was the day I said, okay. Now, does it mean there weren't moments when I was like, doggone it, I'm doing it again? No, you have those days. That's what the growth process is all about. Particularly as we grow, it's not necessarily
Like some things we will quit altogether, either because we just don't shouldn't do them anymore or we outgrow that season. So some things, yes, we will not do anymore as we get more mature physically and physically, emotionally, spirit, soul, body. But then there are other things that we'll have a little struggle with every now and then just to let us know we're still human and we still need God. So I still, not so much anymore. You know, what I say is growth is, at least I caught it quicker. Right? Growth is, growth isn't, oh, I'm perfect. I never did that and I don't do that. Mm-mm. That's called foolishness. Now, what does happen though is as you mature and as you learn to walk and as you learn to trust and as you learn that God is who he says he is, it's just like, doggone it. I'm glad I caught it quicker. I repent. Not I'm sorry. I repent. Lord, please help me with that. I'm repenting, so I trust you to honor your word. Right? I trust I can't perform the word, but I can obey the word. That's our responsibility. We try to perform the word. So in other words, every time we try to perform the word of God without his spirit, we are actually setting ourselves, we are sitting on the throne. That means we are pitting ourselves against God because we want to be God. I want to be in control. So the second thing that changed me, be not deceived. The second thing that changed me is, and I think this was even, yeah, this was even before the whole cancer chemo convalescence situation over years. This was even before that, shortly before that. And I used to love to put Christian stuff, and I have some stuff around the house now, but it's different. But I used to try to put, you know how we try to show our faith by having signs and bumper stickers, and then somebody cuts us off and we want to cuss them out? At any rate, I had these little, because I thought that as a baby believer, you know, that's what everybody else was doing. So I'm going to get these little signs. And I had found this magnet or this saying somebody had given me. And it said, what if Jesus came to your house today? I don't know if you remember that. It might still be floating around, but, you know, as with so many things that we do, everything is a fad and a trend. God is not a fad and a trend. Let me tell you that now. How we address him, how we treat him, how we see him, that might be. But I had this thing that, it was significant for me because of where I was in my walk at the time. Newly born again, all of that. So I had this thing, and it was a saying. I don't remember all of it, but it says, Jesus came to your house today. What would he find? Something to that. It was a few more lines. But basically, if he came to your house today, what would he find? And the whole thing was aspirational. And so I used to read that all the time because I was like, okay, how do I do this? How do, you know. The things I'm sharing with you right now, I didn't know at the time. I didn't know that in order to do the will of God, I had to be filled with the Spirit because I can't do it. I just thought that I was supposed to keep practicing, which I do anyway, but it's only by the leading of the Spirit. God is only honoring his Spirit. He's not honoring our spirit because our spirit is darkness. It's infiltrated with darkness. That's why he says you got to be born again. That's why he says you got to be filled with my Spirit. I'm light, I'm love, I'm peace, I'm joy. So I would read this thing and I would try to take care of my business and do the things I thought I was supposed to do, read the Bible. And he said to me one day, this is the first time I think I remember God speaking to me in this way. And he said to me, I was reading the thing it was on my refrigerator door. And I was standing there reading it one morning and he said, I remember it clear as day because it startled me, but then it grounded me at the same time. He said, Michelle, I'm already here. And I'm thinking, what? Who said that? I'm already here. I'm already here. Wherever you are, I am. I'm omniscient. I'm ever present. Omnipresent. I'm all powerful. I'm right here. And that was the moment for me. That was a seed that he used to help me seriously consider some things in my own life, about my life. When we live as if God is the most present person in the room, as if Jesus himself is sitting there, as if Holy Spirit is ready to transform in any moment, that should shake us a little bit. Some of you, it may not, because you still won't believe. But those two situations shook me. So what does that have to do with not being deceived? Because he's here right now. not just with me. Omnipresent means everywhere at the same time. So he's with you as well. So whatever's in your, he already knows what's going on in your heart. He already knows what's going on in the spirit, or what has gone on in the spirit, which is being made manifest here, because what happens in the spirit happens first. What happens in the spirit does not stay in the spirit, by the way. It manifests, but spirit is always preeminent. So he already knew. He made provision. And all he's saying to us is, I have given you everything you need, not only to believe to your own deliverance, to your own blessing, but to the extent that you can be used to bring the good news of deliverance and hope and love and peace and joy to others and blessing. The Lord says, you think I don't know you. And he says, I know you better than I knew you before you got here. I knew what you were going to say, how you were going to act, how you were going to treat people. I know the moment when you will choose me or not. But the door is always open. So he's just in the sense that he won't, we cannot deceive him. And at the same time, he will let us play this thing out as long as we want to. He already knows whether we will, what we will do or what we won't do. We know in part. We see through a glass, and that dimly. But he doesn't close the door, or at least he hasn't closed it yet, because the Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. And just because he's not manifesting his presence doesn't mean he's not present. The Lord also knows how to cloak himself or hide himself. He knows where he's not welcome. But by his nature, he's omnipresent. So he's still here. He's still with us. God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Not God. This isn't the Truman Show. Right? This isn't some producer manipulating a situation. To be entertained, life and death is on the line, yours and mine. We each have to believe for ourselves. So regardless of your affiliations, your associations, your communities, whatever it is, your social media accounts, your profiles, all of that, you still have to be able to stand before God on your own. Your tribe is not going to be there with you. So one of the things that, you know, when I've taught or done bereavement counseling or done foundational biblical teaching in the past in person, I always say, I'm just sharing this with you. I need you to check it out. I need you to learn it for yourself, because at the end of the day, when we transition out of here, we're going to have to stand by ourselves. You need to learn how to do that now. Everything that we're doing, once we get to that age of being able to exercise choices, right, that's not in infancy. We have to, our capacity to understand something about who God is must come into play. It's a choice. So once we get to that age and he knows where that age is and we receive him or not, we are then accountable. And he keeps saying, I'm right here. Just cry out, just repent, just let me know, you know, that you were born into sin, and then we can start the process. He doesn't care what age we are. We're the ones that want to make big deals about things that God makes no big deal about, but then we want to profess that because we're making a big deal about it, we're a Christian, and no, we're not, because if you were a Christian, you would understand that you're a sinner saved by grace. Notice, sinner comes first. We don't get to call ourselves Christians. He will determine who's a Christian and who isn't. He gets to determine who's like him and who isn't. He knows where his spirit is working and who it's working in and through. He knows which trees are bearing fruit and which ones are not. Why do you think he cursed the fig tree? Everybody thinks that's about the fig tree. No, that's about you or me. What's the clue? Do you know the clue? Be not deceived. Do you know the clue in all of that? The fig tree that got cursed, the clue is the first sentence of that chapter, which says, and Jesus was hungry. We'll talk about that another day. But go back and read it. The clue to what Jesus is doing in all of that, what he's showing through that experience, is the first sentence, and Jesus was hungry. That led to the fig tree being cursed. Well, why was it? We'll talk about that another time. If you want to go read it, you go read it. And all you're getting, get understanding. And while you're getting understanding, be not deceived that you're not the one giving the understanding. God already knows. Well, as the human race evolved, God evolved. No, he doesn't. He already did it. He's already done everything. And on the seventh day, he rested, not because he was tired, but because he was finished. Finished means finished. All means all. Truth is truth. We have challenges with absolute things because of the darkness in us. But once God begins to clean up the darkness in us, once he moves those things away and begins to form Christ in those places, then truth still is truth. The most benevolent person you could ever know is God. And yet we want to treat him like he's the villain and treat everybody else that's trying to hurt us like they're the greatest things. No, none of us is that great. Anything good in us, through us, is God. He is the vine. We are the branches. We don't like being subservient because we don't know how to tell our ego to sit down somewhere. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. He doesn't say, whatsoever they do. That, and that's the other thing. He has there's a public expression, and then the public expression simultaneously speaks to us. You know how sometimes, and I know we do it all the time, we go to conferences, we go to webinars, we go to workshops, we go just visit people, we go to other, you know, just arenas and places to sit and listen to people. And the person is speaking to however many people are in that space. But there could be one or two or three things that the person says that speak to you specifically, even though the expression is being made publicly. That is called, that is what the Bible does. The expression is public. Most read publication, most read book in the world, in the history of the world. But it is also meant to be very personal. And he's also saying to us, I don't care who you are, where you are, what you do, what you look like, all of these things. These principles apply to you, whosoever will accept the invitation. For God so loved the world is the people, the earth is the planet, that he gave his only begotten, his most prized person, gift. He gave for us. He gave him to get us. He couldn't do that if eternal life were not in him. The power of life. The spirit of life. Be not deceived. He breathed into Adam, and Adam became a living soul. That breath is the breath that's resonating throughout the out history. What makes you think that God's not going to trace you back to your own breath? What makes us think, if he's given every single one of us a measure of faith, that he's not, that's kind of the GPS. Not that he's tracking, but he knows where his stuff is. The earth is the Lord's. The earth and its fullness belong to the Lord. The world, planet, people, and all that is therein. What makes you think he doesn't already know? What makes you think we won't have to give accountability for the resources, spirit, soul, and body resources that we use, how we use them? What makes us think that he tells us, love the Lord your God and all, with all your heart and soul and strength and your neighbor as yourself, and he's not going to hold us accountable for that? Why do you think it's in there? Why do we think that in our very, very short, in the light of eternity, opportunities, number of opportunities we have to actually participate with the Lord, collaborate with the Lord to break the power of sin and death off of our lives? Why wouldn't we want to do that? Because we like being God. Or we like playing God. We will never be him. We can be like him. Be not deceived. He's already in the room. Saw you before you came here. Saw me before I got here. And he made provision for all of that. You don't have to believe it. It doesn't mean he didn't give you the choice. right? Well, I don't believe God, so it must not exist. Nope, that's not how it works. He made a provision for all of it. All means all. Be not deceived. He knows you at your quote-unquote highest. He knows us at our quote-unquote lowest. He knows our thoughts. He knows what we believe. He knows the difference between what's in our hearts and what's coming out of our mouth. He knows that even if you look good, you can be bad on the inside. That's what he's judging. He says, you, the problem with you, talking about all of us, you judge from the outside. So I can, look, you can know a tree by its fruit. But I already know what kind of fruit is going to be produced. You wait to see the fruit. He's saying, I don't care what you look like. You can wear a suit. You can wear a pair of jeans. It doesn't matter. And he's telling each of us, you know what? I put people in your path just to see how you're going to treat them. Because I know you. But I'm still giving you the opportunity to do the right thing. To those that know to do good and do it not, to them it is sin. That is also a spiritual principle. To those that know to do good and do it not, to them it is sin. So he's not talking about a collective them. He's talking about if I know to do good and I don't do it. Okay? So then there's the my assent to what is good versus me being led into what is good. If I am led by God's Spirit, then I'm going to pass the test. Why? Because he's the one that's got all the answers. And the standard is Christ. So Holy Spirit is spirit, soul, body, Father in creation, Son in demonstration, manifestation and demonstration, Holy Spirit in transformation. I will send another helper. I will send a comforter. I will send the one who will lead you into all truth. All is all. Truth is truth. The absolute of the absolute. So if I'm being led of the Spirit into what is good, then I know that I'm not Michelle trying to figure out what is good. To those that know to do good and do it not, to them it is sin. And there's a lot of us. We've been there around that circle time and time again. Keep going around that mountain. You know what's right. You just don't like it. Don't let it cost you eternity. I'm telling you right now. And then somebody will say, well, what if what you say is true? Well, guess what? At least we live better lives because of it. At least we treated each other better. At least we weren't down here acting like fools and hellions all the time. I'd rather increase my chances. I'll do a better job of increasing my chances of being a better person, of treating others better, of helping others get more of what they need. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, not made fun of. You can't talk about him behind his back. He already knows what you're thinking. He knows everything about you. He knows things about you that you don't know, may never know. He knows your motivation. He knows why you do things. He knows why you don't. He knows what you're going to do. He knows who you're going to do it to. And he still says, I'm right here. I'm here. If you want to fix that, if you want to heal from that, if you want to be restored from that, if you want to stop those bad habits, if you want to stop, break those generational curses, I'm right here. You can't do it on your own. I've already made provision. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever you or I sow individually, the farmer always sows the seed. The farmer does not claim, well, they can, but we know that's not right. The farmer sows their own seed. That's an agricultural parable. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever you farmer, Michelle, you farmer, fill in your name in the blank, whatsoever you sow, that's what you will reap. Even though you may be trying to throw that stuff into somebody else's field, they may reap it for a little bit, but guess what? Long term, you're going to pay for that. You and your family, because it'll continue through generations. So think of it this way. What we do now here in terms of our relationship with God, because he has provided for all of humanity, dictates not just what happens today or tomorrow while we're here. It dictates what happens with our future generations, our future lineage. So if you've got things coming to you, you don't know where they came from, for real, like you really don't, not like you're playing like you don't know, but like you really don't. And generally speaking, that means it's part of the spiritual lineage, which means you're going to get some things that you didn't actually sow. It's just like, you know, you've eaten right, you've done all these things, and pop, a disease comes up. Well, that likely came out of a lineage, a hereditary thing. Same thing in the spirit. We inherit some things in the spirit, but we also sow some seed. So if you want the hereditary things that are not favorable to stop, and you don't want the things that you're doing in the wrong way or the least edifying ways to continue to your children, grandchildren, other relatives down that lineage, then we have to understand God is the only one that can do that. Spirit, soul, body healing. He's the only one that can do it. I had to go through each of them and understand very clearly. The reason I talk about them specifically is because he was very specific when I had gone through cancer, got a scar up to where is this thing? So round just below my belly, nope, further than that, just below my belly button, up to just under my rib cage. So after I went through having 3 basketballs worth of tumors scooped out of me, 30 plus stitches up the front, probably more than that, staples, I'm healing from the physical piece. He said, now we got to work on this, on your soul. I was like, huh? Your spirit and your soul. Huh? I knew it, but I had never heard him say it that way. So that's why I talked to you about spirit, soul, body healing, spirit, soul, body congruence. We can recover from some things, but until we get to the root of what the issue is, we will not be healed. We will not be restored. We will not be able to live in the fullness of the power of God. And I don't mean power as in wielding power irresponsibly or abusively. I mean in the way that brings blessing to our neighbors. Our neighbors are those we are proximal to, adjacent to in our humanity, not just someone that lives next door to me. We are neighbors in our humanity. We have more in common than we do different. So if I want to be blessed, to be a blessing, then I need to make sure you are, by the Spirit of God, in the name of Jesus. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. And whatsoever you sow, whatsoever I sow. A public word with private implications, just like the whole Bible is. That is what we will reap. I love you, Agape. I bless you and the entirety of your home and family. I ask the Lord to multiply the time that you spent with me today back to you in ways beyond which you could imagine or think. And I pray peace and joy and restoration and healing into your life and into your home so that you will become a vessel of the same for others. I thank you for coming together, and I pray for our unity as the body, as trees that bear good fruit for the kingdom of God. I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.